Good morning, all.
Good morning.
It was nice. Welcome back, and welcome for the first time to some, and it's delightful to see you all. Inside your bulletin, you'll find a little card. We call it the connection card. We hope that everyone will fill that out and place it in the offering plate later in the service. It is a busy week. There are special services to be had, one-of-a-kind services that we hope many, many of you can attend. First, this coming Thursday, Maundy Thursday, there is a service to which we are invited at Northside Community Church at 6 o'clock, a service of communion, meditation, and fellowship. On Good Friday, there are two different opportunities that perhaps many of you can attend both, and some of you will need to choose one. During the daytime, there is an ecumenical Good Friday service from 12 o'clock till 1:30. It happens next door at the United Methodist Church. Our congregation is in charge of the 30-minute increments. Stacy will be preaching. Our choir will be singing. It's from 1 to 1:30, or you may attend all three sessions joined together. But that night, here in this room, this coming Friday night at 8 p.m., is our Good Friday Tenebrae service, a service of shadows, readings, meditations. If you have not yet attended this service in previous years, we invite you to come this year and to be part of this experience, which many of our people testify as being truly remarkable and one of the most moving occasions in their experience at church. We're going to have a special worship service next Sunday morning too. Hope you don't forget to come. And please bring friends, neighbors with you next week. Other announcements are printed in your order of service. Please take a look at those. And now our worship begins. We begin in our own personal reflections as we listen to the offering of Palm Sunday music.
Thank you.
Will you join me, please, in the responsive call to worship? Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest.
Please stand as you are able. Let us pray. Wonderful and forgiving God, we are here to celebrate the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey. Help us know you today in a new way. In the name of your Son, our King. Amen. Amen. A reading from Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mountain of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them.' And he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them. He sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. The others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds ahead of him and that followed were singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, Who is this? The crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Fellow kids, please join me up here for time as children.
We have a lot going on today. And I love that because you know what? When we have a lot going on, it's our way of trying to understand who God is through Jesus and through some of the strange things that Jesus does, like telling his friends to go take somebody else's donkey. Things happen in this story that are different. There are palm branches, there are coats, there are people shouting, Hosanna. A lot of things going on. And when we're trying to understand Scripture, God speaking to us through these stories, it helps us to use our bodies. You've heard me say that before. To act it out, to try it out, to see what it would have been like. And today we get to do that. We get to see what it would have been like to welcome Jesus. There's no donkey here today. But we get to welcome Jesus with palm branches. To see what it would have felt like to sing Hosanna to the King. A king on the donkey. And it's not only good for kids to use their bodies to experience what God was talking about, what Jesus felt like. It's also good for the grown-ups too. So can you help me by passing out the palms to all the grown-ups in the congregation? And then we're going to have a song to sing. And we're going to sing that song. And after you've passed out the palms, you can come up here and we're going to wave our palms while we sing. So I'm going to give you a couple and you can bring them out. And teenagers, if you want to come help, that'd be great too. All right, let's get those out.
Thank you.
Let us pray together, please. God, glad as our rejoicing may be, grateful as we are that you accept our imperfect praise, we are now entering this week into the shadow of the cross of Jesus, and so our prayers begin to falter. Who are we to ask anything of you? Yes, we are mindful painfully of all that is not right with us and of so much in the world that is broken or threatened or sick. But today words fail. So all of it we know only to lay in the shadow of Christ's wounded feet. There is a welling up in our hearts of amazement that we are so loved, that all the world is so loved, and that there is healing in such love. In the shadow of the cross, we offer you our amazement, our thanks, and all of our yearning. Many of us would like to be living toward a greater faithfulness to whom you invite us to be. And we have found limits on how much we can change ourselves. We ask then for the greater power of your Holy Spirit to do its gracious work in us, truly to transform the way we think, the way we choose. To your great purpose for our lives, make us teachable, malleable, open, and heartily willing to follow your Spirit's leading. And now we make our intercessions for these in particular. For John and Anna Moyer, Jenny McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Sadie, Dottie Kassler, Jesse, Cindy Parker, for Tim and Felicia McDonald, Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, for Barb and Bob, for Dominic, the Jones family, John Wallace, the family and friends of Fran, for Lauren Bowen, for Christians persecuted and suffering elsewhere in this world, for victims in Syria, especially those from chemical poisoning, for Kim and Jason Weaver. And now, O God, each of us offers what prayers we need to make in silence. Now, in the remainder of this hour, may we listen deeply and respond fully and leave this place more honestly committed in love for you and for your world. All our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Teacher, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear now a reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Will you pray with me? Put the Christ mind in us, O Lord, and help us make way for Jesus again in our hearts, that we might follow his way in our lives. Amen. The story we will hear this morning is familiar to most of us. We tell it and we hear it all the way through again every year on Palm Sunday and again on Good Friday. Hearing an old familiar story is like taking a trip we've been on many times before. We know the way. We know where it's going. We know how it's supposed to end. So it might be easy to think we've been here before. We've heard all this before. We've done it all before. And there is nothing new for us here. But there really is no such thing as taking the same trip twice, is there? As many times as I have driven up and down I-75 to Georgia and back over the last 16 years, I can tell you it is never the same trip twice. Some of the sights on the road may look the same as they did before, but I'm not the same person who saw them the last time. So every time I go, I see things differently, feel things differently, understand things differently. Every time we repeat a journey or think we are repeating it, it is familiar, but it is also always new. The question is, are we paying attention enough to see it? The same is true for the stories we think we know. You have heard the story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem before. You have heard the story of his betrayal, arrest, trial, torture, crucifixion. But the you that sits here listening today is not the you that was sitting here a year ago or even a week ago. What is different in your life today? What is the same? And what needs to change? Jesus has made the journey to Jerusalem before, but this time is different. He enters the city knowing he is going to suffer and die. And even so, he travels towards his destiny with such purpose, such determination, intentionality. He is no passive participant, no victim of circumstance or poor planning. Knowing what lies ahead, he makes his way towards it. And what about you? What road are you on? What are you making your way towards this week and beyond? Are you doing so with clarity, conviction, courage? Are you intentional and deliberate about the path you are making each day? Or are you stuck, caught in your own loop, swept along by routine or by whatever is urgent or by whatever is happening to you or around you? Sometimes the deliverance Jesus brings calls us out of our current circumstances, liberates us from our current condition, but sometimes our delivery is within. Our deliverance is within, not from circumstance, but within it. It's possible you're meant to be walking a different path than you're on, or maybe you need to see the road you are already traveling in a new way. Whatever your circumstance, you are called, we are called to lives of purpose, meaning, power, courage, connection to God, to each other, to ourselves. This is for each of us, for all of us, no matter our circumstances. We can let the mind of Christ be in us. Following him, responding to him, walking his way, no matter the circumstance. Today is a new day. Today is a day to choose a new way of being. This is a week to see that a way can be made, a way has been made, a way that leads to life and new life and abundant life and healing. Today, like every day, is a holy day because it's a day that God has made. This week, like every week, is a holy week. This week is familiar, but it is new, ordinary, yet sacred beyond imagination. And we can choose to seek God and to see God with intention and attention. So it's time now to hear again our old, old story, which always has something new to say. What will it say to your life? Make way. Make way for the new or renewed claim it wants to make on you. Make way for Jesus the Christ, who goes ahead of us, who breaks the loop of sin and shame and everything that makes us stuck, and who lays his very life down that we may rise.
Thank you.
When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely, Lord, not I." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You've heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" And they answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah, who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus in Galilee?" And he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Jesus, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." And then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said, that before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But Jesus gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified."
When Pilate saw that a riot was breaking out, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." So after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. And then they led him away to crucify him. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots, so that they sat there and they kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by demanded him and derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now." And the bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard this, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran, got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last.
What can we do but give what we are and what we have to the God who has given such love? This offering is but a sign of our gratitude for this love and for this God. We make our offerings now with joy.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, we dedicate these gifts to you. We dedicate our lives to you. Help us to follow the way of Jesus the Christ, to live your love and your purpose in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
As beloved children of a loving God, we have peace to share with each other and with the world. The peace of Christ be with you.
And with